man, that food was good. That was really awesome. Yeah. They know how to throw down a party, that's for sure. I was getting ready to leave and they just started dancing. And they were doing the old electric slide. And I just have to tell you, some of you church members can get down. Yeah, you sure can. You know, it's kind of a base. You're all out. We have any more? They said 150, so. It's kind of funny, you know, it's a basic step. You know, you just kind of do the same thing over and over and turn and do it again. But, you know, you don't have to keep it boring. I was watching these moves going in there, you know, and when they were turning, they were like, you know, all of that. I said, I like that. That's pretty cool. That's like your Christianity. Don't keep it boring. You know, there's a lot more to Jesus than what we think, you know. Right? So get your groove on. You know, you got to really get your moves going when it comes to the kingdom of God. Boy, I'm happy to see you. I don't ever assume anybody's going to ever show up again the next week. I really don't. And then when you're here, it's like, oh, wow, they came back. This is awesome. So take your Bible. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Are you ready to get in the Word? All right. Nyasha, you're going to share with me at the end of the service some great news about the Marshall Islands and the victory you had. I'll give you a chance to do that as soon as we finish. And we're going to take the offering later on, but praise God. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 16. Aw, they didn't put my scriptures in here. Okay. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Isn't that cool? Worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That is a good place to live in Jesus. Put no confidence in the flesh. He says, though I also may have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. In other words, Paul was saying, I've got some stuff going on and I can have confidence in my accomplishments. And then he goes on in the next verse and he says this, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Now watch what he says here in the next verse. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul was really bragging it up. He was saying, look, in regards to the law, I am blameless. I'm like perfect in the Word of God. Man, that's pretty arrogant, isn't it? Okay, he goes on to say in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these have counted what? Loss for Christ. Now let me just introduce you to a key word in the church that the church doesn't like, lose. I mean, when's the last time you heard a sermon about come to Jesus and you can lose your everything you have? I mean, you know, where on TBN are you going to hear it? What Christian station? Nobody wants to hear about loss. The American church or the Western church, we want to learn about increase. We want to learn about gain. We want to learn about materialism. We want to learn about having stuff. And Paul says, all the things that were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Look at the next verse, verse 8. Yes, indeed, I also count all things loss. There he goes again with that word. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss. Okay, this is getting ridiculous. I think I'm getting the point, Paul. You want us to lose some stuff. He says it the third time, loss of what? All things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now he continues in this discourse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Now Pentecostal people are a little bit peculiar, I just have to tell you. I've been around them a long time. And when you say resurrection power, everybody goes, yay! I feel the power. You know, when we say resurrection power, we're talking about raising people up out of wheelchairs and blind eyes open and saying, that's a resurrection power. But you know what? That's not what the Bible calls resurrection power. We'll get to that in a minute. Go on, next verse. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12. Keep going. When I finish reading, just keep going. Thank you. That I've already obtained or have already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Just put one finger up. One thing I do. Make sure it's the right finger. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Then verse 16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. There's some correlation that I get from the Apostle Paul that says, to the degree that we have attained our spiritual experience, let us continue to walk in the same rule and be of the same mind. In other words, to the degree that we get rid of carnal stuff, that we are able to unload carnal appetite, that we are able to get rid of me and let Christ get big in me, then I see that I am going to experience spiritual life the way God intended. I have to submit to us today that I believe that a large percentage of the body of Christ in the West, at least in the West, are not living their purpose and their destiny designed by God. Not because they don't want to, but because they're weighted down with stuff. And we're afraid to lose stuff. We're afraid to trust God. We think we need to maintain control. That if we're not in charge of stuff, if we're not taking care of business, then if you don't take care of yourself, ain't nobody going to take care of it for you. See, we have this mentality that you have to get yours. You have to be in charge. You have to make it happen. Well, let me introduce you to another thought. You can let go, you can lose, and watch God do everything on your behalf that you couldn't attain to anyway. See, there's something about wanting Jesus so much in your life that it will literally, that desire, that aspiration of pursuit, that love for God will become so big in your life that it doesn't matter in what arena it's in, business, marriage, raising children, whatever, in relationship, that your desire is to pursue him and to know him, and it doesn't matter what you let go in the process, because you can't lose in God. But let me just introduce you to a thought here. The way in the kingdom is an upside down kingdom, because the way up is down. The way in is out. You see, the way to gain is to lose. So if we can begin to trust God that this kingdom, which is an upside down kingdom in this world doesn't understand that. But once you tap into it, let me tell you something. You're going to begin to experience God in a spiritual level in your life that you'd only dream that you can attain to. Because I believe every person in this room today, God has designed a plan for your life of complete victory, perfect harmony, supernatural power, and great exploits for the kingdom of God. That you could say goodbye to yesterday and all of your past failures and pursue him with passion and know that what you can't do, God will do for you. Amen? Oh, I believe that. He will do it for you. Now, I got to tell you a crazy story. This is about two Moravian missionaries. Maybe you've heard about the Moravian missionaries. Maybe you haven't. But they were an awesome group of people. Coming out of Germany, about 250 years ago, two young missionaries. They say they were about 17, maybe 18 years of age. We don't really know for sure. They could have been in their early 20s. But they heard about something. They heard about an island in the West Indies that was ruled by a plantation owner. And what this plantation owner did was enslave people to work his plantation. Now, the thing about it is, he was very mean. He tormented them. He abused them. It was just for selfish gain. So they heard about it. And they thought, man, that is an injustice to humanity. And they began to pray. Now, to add more to this story, this plantation owner refused anyone to come to that island to talk about Jesus. He said, I don't want any Christianity on my plantation. Plus, I'm not going to allow any church to be built on my plantation. This is my island. This is my life. This is my slaves. These are my crops, and nobody's going to interfere. So these two young Moravian missionaries, they really were burdened for those people. They thought to themselves, what happens is if they die and never heard the gospel message, they'll go to eternal hell. We can't let that happen, one said to the other. They said, we must pray. After prayer, the other one said, I've got it. God showed me what we're going to do. He said, well, bring it on, man. Tell me what we're going to do. He said, we are going to sell ourselves into slavery and go work on the plantation. And the other Moravian missionary said, Jesus wouldn't expect all that. That's like way too much. I mean, that's like radical. God doesn't want us to do that. That means we have to lose everything. Well, he didn't say that. He said, that is an answer from God. So literally, true story, they sold themselves into slavery to go onto this island in the West Indies. And with the money they got for their very own lives, they paid the fare to get to the island. Left everything behind. And as they were pulling away in the ship from the dock, all their family was standing there making their farewells. Mom was crying. Family was reaching out. You don't have to do this, they said. In their parting, the one young man reached out, shouting back to this family, knowing that he probably would never see them again, and made this statement. Please put it up on the screen. May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. They felt that there was nothing they could lose in this world. They felt that Jesus was worth their loss. When you get an attitude like this, you don't need a marriage counselor. Because it's not complaining about what they do. It's all about the fact that I'm a Christian. I serve Jesus, and if it's not my way, it's okay. Because you know what? I'm doing this marriage for the glory of the Lamb of God. I'm not doing this marriage because of what I get out of it. Now, I'm living on a little bit higher of a level. I'm willing to lose everything that he may get the glory. But let me just let you in on a secret. When you take that posture, the things that you thought you lost, God will automatically add to your life, and you will have more than you ever thought imaginable before you made that decision. But in some reason in the West, we don't know this kind of Christianity. We want to find a place where it's comfortable and it's convenient. We want to find a place where we can sort of have our cake and eat it too. But Paul understood something about losing. Jesus said an incredible verse. We don't read about it too many times in the Bible because it's a bit challenging. Here it is in Mark chapter 8. Jesus was talking to his disciples and he made a radical statement. And when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, read it with me, would you? Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoa. Deny myself? Why? Doesn't God want me happy? Look, if God didn't want me to have that, he shouldn't have created me that way. I mean, after all, God gave me this passion and desire for this. And he says in his word, he'll give us the desires of our heart. Preach, preacher. And so we justify all of these carnal ambitions and appetites, and we wrap them up with a scripture here and there, justifying ourselves while we hold on to everything that we can possibly hold on to. And Jesus makes statements like this, that whosoever wants to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me? What am I supposed to follow you with if I lose everything? See, there's where the trust factor comes in. Because you can never lose giving to God. How many know that's true? Let me see it. You know that to be true? Absolutely. You can never lose giving to God. So a fully devoted believer does at least four things, and let me give these to you quickly. Number one, he counts all things loss. There's a scripture in Hebrews, I believe it is, and the writer of Hebrews talks about the besetting sins. You remember that one? And I think it talks about weights, doesn't it? Yeah. Is that in chapter 12? Where is that? Verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Can you say that word with me? Weight. It's what every American is trying to lose. No, I'm serious. Did you know the latest statistic says, I just heard this the other day, there are now Bow Wow camps for your dog. Because 54% of all pets in America are obese. Do you know what the weight loss industry in America is every year as far as finances? Billions of dollars. You know why it's a good business to get into? Because you can lose it and then get it back. And then have to lose it a second time. And then get it back. And then guess what? You'll find another program to lose it again. But the Bible's telling us something about weight. He tells us in this verse to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The first thing, the first aspect of a fully devoted life of a believer is that we count all things loss. Loss. And the word in the Greek is an incredible word. It's zemri. Put it up there for me, please. Zemia. I got it confused with one of the kings of Israel. Zemia. And this is what it means. If a Greek were to read that word, they would get a picture, not just necessarily a definition. That word describes a loss at sea. So here's Paul preaching. And he said, I gain all things loss. I gain all things, in other words, hurled overboard, because in the middle of the storm, I've got to lighten the load. Now, if you'll go with me to Acts chapter 27, do you have a Bible this morning? Okay, because they don't have this scripture. This is a late edition in my scriptures. But Acts 27, Paul is in the middle of a storm. And the Bible reads in verse 18, and because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. Say that with me. Lightened the ship. Okay, one more time. Ready? Lightened the ship. Now, why is that important? Because if you're too heavy and you're in the middle of a storm and you're taking on water, you want to stay afloat. So you got to lighten the ship. So look what they did. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, I'm not a sailor, and I'm not really sure what the ship's tackle is, but I think it has something to do with navigating. I think it has something to do with operations of a ship. Now, think it with me. They got to a point in a storm where it became so critical that they understood that it was a trade-off. Do I hold on to what I know can help me navigate like it did in the past through a storm? Or do I throw it overboard because I know I need to lighten the load because we're too heavy and we're not making progress and we're going to sink? So in other words, there's got to be a point in your life and my life where we recognize we need to let go and let God. Come on, say it with me. Let go and let God. Sometimes there's things that we've got to let go that we've been using all along to keep life together. And we've got to let it go. So a fully devoted believer knows how to lighten the load. You know, I've noticed something about Christians. And I said this to Tina this morning. I said, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I mean, 30-some years. I've been to every conference. I've been to every revival service. I've heard every major speaker. I've had him in my church. I've hung out in the back room in the green room with them at TBN. I've been on their airplanes. I've seen everybody getting greased up like a pig at the county fair, knocked over, flapping around on the floor. I've seen everything in the church but up one thing, change. You know, I don't like road trips. Hey, you know what? We're going to do a reality show. My family and I, for the first time, 40 years of marriage coming up in July. By the way, Lowell and Patty, 45, yesterday. Whoop, whoop. Happy anniversary. This is our 325th day of our 40th year. And so we're celebrating it. So in 40 years, we've never done this. We've never rented a house with 7 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms, and put all 22 of us in it for 1 week. We're about ready to do that. And I'm going to put cameras in every room. It's going to be so much fun. I think I could sell it for an NBC miniseries. I mean, you know, reality shows, I mean, everybody likes them, right? I guarantee you, though, it won't be nothing like Snooki. I think that's her name. I don't know. Anyway, the kids are all driving. It's about 11-hour drive, 12-hour drive to Myrtle Beach. And I'm not driving because I hate road trips. You know what? The problem is I've been spoiled. When I can fly at 600 miles an hour, I can't drive at 60. It's like, we there yet? I mean, just from Lorraine today, it's only a 45-minute drive. I've got Emma in the back seat and Creed, and about every 2 minutes, are we there yet? I said, look, Papa's driving as fast as I can. I don't want to get a ticket. A couple minutes later, are we there yet? Let me give you a hint. Some of us are so weighed down with the things of this world, you moving so slow. And God's your co-pilot. He's sitting next to you and he's going, ain't you there yet? It's time to throw some stuff overboard. It's time to get rid of some things that are weighing you down. It's time for us to get trim and fit in the kingdom of God and be able to move as the Holy Spirit leads. Can I get an amen in here? Yeah. All right, or maybe an oh me, whatever the application. Secondly, a passion to know Christ. The word know in the Greek simply means this, to know him personally, by experience. Okay, you can say you don't believe in God. Well, I met him. You can say God doesn't talk to people today. I talked to him this morning. See, I've experienced God, and he is real. Come on, lift a hand up and say, I know he is.
I know he is.
Lift the other hand up and say, yes, he is.
Yes, he
Now clap your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Woo! A man with an argument is always at the mercy of a man with an experience. And so a fully devoted believer is going to be one that has a passion for Christ. I can't just know about God. I've got to know God. And Paul said seven ways he has to know him. Number one, he said, I need to know Christ. In other words, experience him for myself. Then he said, I have to win Christ. Now that gives us an understanding that there's a fight. Because when you have to win, that means you have to oppose. That means there's going to be somebody to try to prevent you from scoring. And I don't know about you, but in the body of Christ, we're blaming the refs. We're blaming our sickness and we don't feel well. Or we're blaming the fact that we don't have the right players. Listen, you lost. But to win Christ means I will not be defeated and I will not quit because God made me a winner. He made me to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen? You've got to get up in the morning and get your attitude on even before you put your makeup on. You got to put your makeup on with an attitude. You got to get dressed in the morning and say, I am more than a conqueror. You know what I'm saying? You got to go. You got to walk around with a little swagger. Devil, I'm coming for you today. And I'm looking for you right now. You better watch out. You got to get a little swagger. You got to get a little confidence in the morning. Because you're a winner. Come on, tap somebody and say, I know you're going to win. I know you got the victory. Then Paul said, I'm going to magnify Christ. I like that sound, that song that we sing. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, let's see, how's that go? Worthy to be praised, something like that. But I like the magnify, Lord. Magnify, I want God so big you can't even see me. And Paul said, I've got so much passion, I make God big. You know, some people get mad at you. Is that all you talk about is God? I'm getting nothing else to talk about. How can I talk about anything else? When God is so big, I can't talk about anything else. What do you want to talk about? The Cavs? No, let's talk about the Mavs. Okay, I don't want to get carnal here, but go Mavs! All right, I'm back. He said, I want to be conformed to Christ. You know, I have to come to a point. Chuck, I thought about this the other day. I said, you know what? If I'm not changing, something's wrong. I can't be the same husband I was a year ago or a week ago. There's constant change. He said, I want to be conformed to Christ. That means I want to leave something and embrace something else. And some of us haven't changed for 15 years. You know, some people, they know how predictable you are, so they don't go there. Because if they say the wrong thing, we got an argument. You can't be confronted because you got this reputation. You know anybody like that? Man, you don't even want to deal with them because you know what they're going to do. They're going to go off. But isn't that something if you can go up to that person, push that button, and they go, praise the Lord. It's like, what happened to you? Praise the Lord. Oh my gosh. All right, I'm going to do this one more time. Praise the Lord. You say, man, you got changed. The Holy Ghost is in you. There's been conforming to Jesus. Look at you. Before you used to spit at me, venom. I got to prove to you I don't like you. You know those glares and stares. It's time for a change. So a fully devoted believer is passionate about Christ. And they rejoice in the day of Christ. That's number six. I love Christmas, but it ain't all that. I love my birthdays, but it ain't all that. You could bring me a new car tomorrow, pull up in my driveway with a big red ribbon around it, hand me the keys and say, Pastor, we just want to bless you. And I'll say, oh, that was really nice. Thank you. Now, don't get disappointed that I'm not like all excited, because it's not my source of joy. Used to be. Well, I'd be looking at everybody else, what they're driving. Well, how come they got that? I ain't got this. I'm supposed to be blessed too. I wish I had one of those. But I've changed. And my source of joy now is in Jesus. Now, you give me a little Jesus, you better watch out. I might just get excited. I might just get joyful. I don't care about the car. I don't care about the clothes. You could even give me money. It's not my source. But you throw some Jesus my way, I'll be all over you. Be like, ha, 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 whoa, give me some, boom, boom. I will be so excited. Come on, look at somebody, give them a high five. Say, just give me some Jesus. I don't need all that junk. I don't need all that stuff. And then finally, number 7. He said, I want to live forever with Christ. There's a destination here, man. I'm going to heaven. And it's almost like inside I feel this thing going, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. You know, it's like a little kid going to Cedar Point. They get all excited. We're going to Cedar Point. Oh, we're going to Cedar Point. Oh, we're going to Cedar Point. Then when you get to Cedar Point, it's like, this wasn't as good as I thought it was. But heaven will not disappoint you. Heaven will not disappoint you. And you have to begin looking forward to eternity. Number 3, he lives a new life. A fully devoted believer lives a new life. Everybody say new life. That doesn't mean a new and improved old life. I don't know where we started this in the church, that Christ understands our humanity and it's okay. No, it's not. He doesn't want you to live on that level anymore. We've been living so beneath our potential. You know, you've got to strive for the best. And I like that little saying that Dave Martin uses. He said, the rest of your life will be the best of your life. Because good, better, best. I'm never going to let it rest till good turns to better and better turns to best. I'm going to be all that I can for God. I'm on my way up. I'm changing. Let me tell you something. You getting to know me. Some of you like new to the church, you're getting to know me. You better hurry, because next year I'm going to be different. See, it looks like the same guy, but he's different, because you're changing constantly. God wants to give us a new you. A new you. That's why Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says this. It's so powerful in the scripture. See, I don't know what it is about the power of the resurrection. Because especially Pentecostals, we get so goofy. You see somebody fall on the floor, you go, wow, that's the power of God. I could put you on the floor. It ain't no power. It's my power. We see somebody on the TV and they got out of a wheelchair. And it's a great miracle. Thank God for it. And we're like, Pastor, this woman couldn't walk. But now she can walk. Praise him, people. Praise him. We're all like, yeah, that's the power of God. No, it's not. I said, well, what is it then? If it's not the power of God, what is it? Look at it with me. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk what? That's the power of God. See, you and I can fake it, man. We can even use the power of the presence of the Lord to do signs and wonders and miracles. Over the ages, I can name evangelists and preachers who were having a fling with their secretary, but when they were in the public meeting, there were signs and wonders going on. A contradiction. That after the service, they get drunk. They order cocktails after the service. That leave their wife and marry another woman. And say it was God. And they have great miracles that take place. They're anointed. You say, well, they must be anointed. That's the power of God. No, it's not. Then why do they have the miracles? Because God loves the sick, the bound, those that are afflicted, those that are under the heavy hand of a taskmaster too much not to use the gift to bring healing and deliverance to the people. He loves the people. I read something in the Bible that messed me up. Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not? Huh? And what does he say? Depart from me, you workers of what? Iniquity, because I never knew you. You knew about me, but you didn't know me. So that's not the resurrection power of God. The resurrection power of God is that I used to be a cusser. Oh, I could cuss you. Ooh, I think I could even resurrect some cussing now if I wanted to. Get down in there. Come on up here, cuss. No, 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 don't come up. You know what I'm saying? I used to be able to cuss with the best of them. Don't cut me off in traffic because I will show you the hand. People use other people for their own gain. People manipulate other people for their own gain. That's what they did before Christ. The power of God, the resurrection power of God is, I used to, but I don't anymore. You can push my button and I say, praise the Lord. It's like, what happened to you? I got saved, man. You have that video back there? This is an incredible video of a building in Vegas. God's not interested in improving your life.
One and four, go. One and four, go. Go, one and four. One and four. Two and three, two and three. Two and three, go. Yes.
Turn off the sound, just keep it going. Can you imagine you're up there on the 25th floor? You're just ordering your chicken sandwich from room service. And suddenly things are shaking. You call up the front desk. Hey! There is no more front desk. The concierge is gone. The bellboy ran for his life. God didn't purchase you so he could remodel you. He just wanted the site so he can build a brand new you. Come on, church. It's okay. He wants to give you new life. C.S. Lewis said it this way, best. C.S. Lewis said this. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. Number four. Make a decision daily. How many remember what Paul said? I die, what, once a week on Sunday morning? No, he said, I die what? Daily. So when you die on Sunday, guess what? Monday morning, you got to die again. It's like, I'm tired of dying. Tuesday, die. Wednesday, die. Why? Because it takes a conscious effort to live for God. Did you know the heart of a man is wicked? Yes. Your ways are wicked. You don't believe that? Watch a two-year-old. It just comes natural. The ways are wicked. And so what we do is we learn to live with our ways by committing Christian acts. And we think we're fooling God. So we say, hey, God, I went to church. Hey, God, I sing in the choir. Hey, God, I fed the hungry. Hey, God, hey, God, hey, God, hey, God. And God said, you know what? I don't like your ways. It takes a conscious effort to change your ways. The other day, we hadn't lived in this house for 4 years. Tina wanted to go to CVS. She had to pick up something, so I went down the street that we used to drive to get to this house. Did you know, subconsciously, I wasn't going to CVS? I went right by CVS. I was on my way to a house I don't even live at. I went, oh. I became conscious again. I went, where am I going? Because it was an established pattern of a way of life. You don't have to make a decision to live wickedly. It comes natural. So a totally devoted believer is like, I'm living for God today. I'm living for God. I don't care what anybody else do. I'm living for God. 10 minutes later, you guess what? You got to say it again. I'm living for God. You and I have to come to a place where we are no longer satisfied with low life living. Where we are interested more in pursuing Christ. You know, God's not that interested about how much you know about the Bible. He wants to know how much you can live it. That's all. Can you live this thing? Philippians chapter 3. I'm just going to give you a couple more verses, verses 13 to 15. And I'd like you to just look at this and concentrate on it with me just for a few minutes, because I'm going to share what I try to do every day to live a Christian life. I have to do this. And it's successful when I do it. And when it's not, it's because I haven't done it. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind me, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There are four things that I believe a person who's dying daily must do in order to live a victorious Christian life. The first thing is, and you might want to write them down because I don't have them on the screen, but the first thing is that you have to press on. Pressing on speaks of endurance. You have to endure hardship like a good soldier. You and I have to realize there's going to be resistance in our life. This world resists the kingdom. It doesn't flow with the kingdom. This world system is the antithesis of the kingdom of God, and it resists you. And you got to make a decision. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm going to make it through this. And sometimes it gets hard because you get tired. I'm going to tell you right now, I get tired sometimes. Because trial after trial after trial comes. Problem after problem after problem comes. And I think, you know what? I can't do this anymore. And I think, no. I got to press on. He who endures to the end shall be saved. This isn't about quitting. Quitting's not an option. But sometimes I need help. I need somebody to come by my side and say, you know what? I know you're under it. I know you're tired. I know you're about out. But I'm going to stand with you. I got your back. We are not going to lose. You're going to keep marching. You're going to keep winning. You're going to keep fighting. You're going to keep on praying. That's why I've got to have somebody in my life who won't let me quit. I don't know how many times, man. I've been to hospice centers. I've been to hospital rooms. I've held people in their hand, in my arms as they died. I've just horrific situations. And recently, knelt down on the side of a bed of a man who asked everybody to leave the room. So I got to talk to Pastor. And he looked over at me and he said, "I'm tired. I don't think I can keep on going." And I took him by the hand and I said, "I understand you're tired." I didn't tell him to have more faith. I didn't tell him to believe God. It's easy for me to say that. I'm in street clothes and I'm leaving to go back in my car after I get done with the visit. He stayed there. I just simply said to him, "I know you're tired, but I'm not going to let you quit now. And I began to try to encourage him not to give up. Sometimes you have to endure. And some of you have endured great hardship. I know that. You've been through all kinds of problems. Some of you are sitting here today thinking, I don't even know if I can go to church because I am hurting so badly and I'm tired and I don't feel like I can do this anymore. But you've got to endure. Come on, lift up your hand and say, I will. Press on. You see, you've got to make that decision. It's got to be predetermined that I'm going to press on. I am going to endure. Number two, you and I have to reach out. To reach out means to focus. I've got to focus on the important things. I can't allow my mind to drift. I can't let my eyes fix on things that are temporary. I can't listen to what people are saying. It doesn't matter how she acted, how he acted. I don't care how obnoxious they are. I know what God said. We gotta focus, man. I'm not letting my mind drift. Satan, you will not have my mind. You are not going to induce me with thoughts that are negative and contrary to the word of God. I will not allow those thoughts in my mind. I take them captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I stay focused. Whether it's marriage, whether it's money, whether it's relationships, it doesn't matter what it is. You've got to maintain your focus. Because if you don't maintain your focus, you will fall back into your ways. Number three, you got to forget the past. If I could print my past and distribute it this morning, I don't think any of you will show up next week. You're like, what? And sometimes the devil likes to come into my present day and go, psst, that's good, but did you tell God about that? Oh, yeah, God, like I really blew it back there, and this probably means I'm disqualified now, right? He goes, right where? Right, you know, back there. God says, back where? You don't remember that back there? No, I can't bring it to mind. Why are you? And I have to remember, and the whole cliche works. It's a great little statement. The next time Satan reminds of your past, remind him of his future. You and I have got to get over our past. Every one of us in here have had a bad experience in the past where you have failed, where you have faltered, where you have faltered. Come on, every one of us. But you've got to forget your past. I'm not going to let it disqualify me. You can disqualify me if you want to, but you ain't God. I'm hanging on to God. It doesn't matter if the whole world disapproves me. God loves me. And he's got a perfect plan for me. Number four. I got to move forward. I can't stay in the same place. You know, I just can't stay in the same place. And I was talking about it earlier about all these church meetings, all these revival services, all these conferences, all these crusades. I'm like, wow, we're still in the same place. Can't get people to tithe, can't get people to serve, can't get people to work. Moravian missionaries, are you joking? I mean, really, when you think about it, who would sell themselves into slavery to tell somebody about Jesus? Not in this kingdom. When you think about it, church, we got to move forward. We got to get past all this stuff. Well, I don't like those people. You know, I can't forgive them. They hurt me so deeply. You got to move on, man. You got to move forward. You got to move forward. You got to change. I hate when she does that. When she does that, it just makes me go crazy. We need to rewire you. We need the praise the Lord button. It's time for change. It's time for change. Husbands, I want to challenge you. Some of you are so predictable. Certain things happen in the home. It's like, oh no, we know what God, what's Dad going to say? Remember my daughter, I won't tell you which one, took our brand new car. It was our first brand new car. It was the Chrysler. Remember the Chrysler? She stole it. She didn't ask me for permission. She just took the car after we went to bed. Then she has the audacity to call me because she got in an accident. Why you call me? Call your friend. I showed up. I'm like, I had her for lunch, supper, breakfast too, and leftovers as well. What do you think you're doing? Where do you go with that car? And I'm going to break your neck. I'm serious. I was a pastor then too. But it was my way of handling stuff. I'm just going to be honest with you. See, I told you you wouldn't like me if I told you too much. And then I move forward. I move forward. And I think I can't even remember the last accident. I think it was that woman right there. I don't know. I don't know what it was. And I'm like, are you okay? Did you get hurt? Yeah, I think it was one of my kids. Yeah, I'm okay, Dad. I said, baby, come here, let me hold you. Look, you're shaking. Oh, what about the car? I said, we'll fix the car. It's just a piece of metal. We'll get it fixed. Don't worry about it. You okay? I'm like, listen to me, man. Golly. I don't know what happened to me, but I'm saved, man. I'm like really saved. I mean, I try to get mad now, and I can't even fake it. What did you do? Oh, it's all right. Don't you want to move forward? Don't you want to stop being predictable? Did you know that in military strategy, predictability brings certain defeat? If your enemy can predict you, he's got you. All he's got to do is throw a little wrench in your little machinery and you go off and he goes, gotcha. But isn't it cool when he throws in the wrench, you throw it back at him and go, praise the Lord. I'm going to close with one more verse. Did I say that yet? Okay, this is the last verse, I promise. Jeremiah 9, 23, 24, Message Bible, please. You've got them in both, but make sure you put up the Message Bible. God's message. Don't let the wise brag of their wisdom. Don't let the heroes brag of their exploits. Don't let the rich brag of their riches. If you brag, brag of this and this only, that you understand and know me. I am God, and I act in loyal love. I do what's right and set things right and fair and delight in those who do the same things. These are my trademarks. God's decree. Did you know you and I can be just like God? Aren't you glad? The last time you messed up, God didn't throw a lightning bolt at your head. Yes. Whoa, watch out, watch out, watch out. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he didn't take his little finger and flick you into hell? Or this, you're no daughter of mine now. Wait a minute, aren't you glad God didn't say, okay, you're out. I don't know about you, man, but I don't want to brag about anything in this world. I just want to brag about the fact that I know him and he knows me. And I'm like a loving kind of guy. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. Because I love you more than anything you could ever do to me to try to steal that love. That's what Jesus said. And I know some of you have been enduring great pain and sorrow and suffering. And your you're about ready to quit. You know, when you go in week after week to get your chemo, or like tomorrow, Tina's sister going in, some kind of a tumor in her stomach. Like Brother L. Tortorella, 5 years. You just say, you know what, I've had it. Like my daughter, Mary and Adrian. We're so happy to have a baby, be pregnant, and then all of a sudden have a miscarriage. Say, God, where were you? And the devil knows how to play, doesn't he? Hard. And that's why I have no choice today but to stay focused. Endure, move forward, and change. And I pray that's your prayer. So in this closing moment, take 30 seconds, just bow your head and talk to Jesus. Make a commitment, make a covenant, make a new agreement with him that you are going to stay focused, that you are personally devoted, you are lovingly devoted to him, that you will press on, that you will reach forward, that you will forget the past, that you will continue to change and believe that God will meet you. Listen to me, weary one. One that's got a hurt heart this morning. You can't quit now. The Bible says in Psalm 113, he lifts those up out of the dust and those that have been flung into the dunghill. God's not afraid of the dunghill. He'll come get you. So I'm praying now, Father, come get us, because some of us are just in a pile of dung. I refuse to stay where I am. I refuse to back up and back down. God, from this day forward, I'm going with you. That's your prayer? Come on, stand up to your feet. Lift up your hands. Come on, sing that song. That's a good song. Come on, lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To that song.
stepping back, moving forward. You make all things new, Lord Jesus.
You make all things new, and you make all things new, and I will follow you forward.
You make all things new, yes you do, Lord.
You make all things new, and you make all things new, and I will follow you forward.
I want you to take somebody by the hand. Pray for them today that their faith will not fail. Come on. Pray for them that they won't quit. Come on. Pray for them that they'll die daily. Stay focused in Jesus. Come on. Pray for them that they will endure every hardship. Pray for them that they will reach forward. That they will press on. That they will never be defeated and they will never quit. Pray for them today that they will have a holy resolve, that they're going to change, that they're going to have new life in Christ. They'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now before we go this morning, we want to receive our morning offering and tithe. So please be seated and we're going to have prayer. But if you can just give us a couple more minutes. Hey, Asher, could you come up? He has a great testimony I want you to hear. As you prepare your offering of the faithfulness of God. I don't have a mic, so somebody has one there. And share with us, brother, what God has done.
Oh, amen. A little bit extra from last time when we shared the testimony about the men on the bench. Well, they are breaking ground in the islands today to finish the school. And on top of the money that came from the grant, when Pastor Patrick arrived at the island, back from a conference in America, someone met him at the airport and said, here's an envelope, go and finish the work of God on that island, and in it was another $10,000. So God will finish the work. Romans says God will finish the work and he will cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord do upon the earth. So just for a few minutes, another testimony from the islands. Before we went to the Marshall Islands for missionary work, I had been acquainted with a man of God from Spokane, Washington. He's actually a pastor and a businessman, training a lot of men of God to be strong in business. So when I went to the islands, we reacquainted and registered a company together in the islands, on another island away from the mission. He specializes in security systems and cameras and surveillance equipment. So one time he actually came out, we did one project there together for several businesses. And while he came out to the islands through a divine connection, we were led to the ports authorities of the Republic of Marshall Islands. Well, they run all the airports and the shipping docks and ports of entry and exit into the country. Well, we met with the director and his deputy, and he said, yeah, we sure are ready for, you know, equipping all these points with security systems. So through his advice, he said, well, if you write a proposal for not more than $25,000, it will not even go before the board. We'll just write a check, and you guys do the job, and We finished. Well, we submitted a proposal back in around July of last year and then came back to the States. After 7 months, we still had not heard anything. But then a couple months ago, an email came and they said, well, that proposal, we are now opening up the job to every company that wants to participate. It's now up for bidding. And they send us a document and said, these are the guidelines, but there's a bid deposit also. So they told us the amount. A day before that, someone in the kingdom said, here is a check. Do what you need to do in the islands, whatever you do with it. It was the same amount that was required for the bid deposit, which I didn't have. And after we wrote the second proposal, we submitted it, and the amount was actually now double the original bid. And there were companies from all over the world bidding for that contract. From as far as the Fiji Islands, we were just like, wow, we are like David against Goliath in this. So they, for some reason, delayed the decision. So we made a phone call and said, what is going on with that contract? They said, well, we did all the evaluations, and you guys actually, you are number two in the selection process. The management has passed on their evaluations to the board of directors. When they come back from traveling for other business purposes, they will actually select. It's looking like it's going to these guys at number one. So well, we talked about it. Said, do we adjust the price or resubmit? Say, well, if you resubmit, you probably are going to get the contract. So for some reason, every time we tried to change the price, something got in the way. We never got to do it. But a few days ago, an email came and said, your project has been selected as the winning project, as the winning proposal. And so I made a call. I said, so what happened? How come we were number two and now we became the winning company? He said, well, when the board of directors came back and had a meeting, they reevaluated everything and they overruled the decision by management and gave you guys the contract. He said, your price was high, was much higher, but they said we are more attracted to your proposal than the company that had the lower price. So at that time, when all this was happening, that's when Pastor Caton was preaching turnaround time and that God is going to turn things around. And that word just went into activation. I tell you, the word being preached here is in action in the islands, and God can intervene where people have decided and turn decisions around. So just the favor of God, they will pay for all the tickets, for round trip tickets to the Marshall Islands, and we're going to do missions while we're there and get the project done. And you know, God is just so faithful to finish what he began. Thank you.
What did I do? Turn it off? It's on. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So as I was sitting there, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, people who are in business now who need to turn around, there's an anointing on that story, and you can receive that for yourself. Or maybe your own private finances. And in this giving today, I want you to just believe God. So pray over your seed right now, will you? Father, we thank you that we can pray over this seed. We can pray over this tithe because we know, God, that you did a great miracle on behalf of Naisha and his ministry. So I believe, Lord, that same anointing is present now for every business person, for every home, for every individual, because we believe your word. And we thank you, Father, for the giving of your people, the faithfulness of their generosity. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While you're giving this morning, I want to remind you, I just found out that Jay just got a brand new album out. That's a nice picture of you.
All right. Yeah.
It's called True Love Story. And you can go ahead and receive the offering. These, I believe, are available today. Is that right? Next week. Okay, next week. And yeah, that's a nice picture of you, man. Did they touch that up or what? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Stop it. All right. Amen. Are we receiving the offering? In closing, let me say this. Wednesday night, I shared about the white throne judgment of God. And the books were open, plural. There's a book of life, and then there's a Lamb's book of life. We understand that the book of life, every name is written. But in the Lamb's book of life, only those that receive Christ. And if you haven't received Christ, the Bible says then your name will be blotted out of the book of life. Why? The Bible says three things. Number one, sin. Number two, failure to be clothed in Christ, the righteousness of God. And number three, because you failed to live by this book. See, if any man is in Christ, then the sin issue is dealt with. You are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And number three, you fulfill all the law and prophets in Him because that's what Jesus accomplished. So today, I want to ask you, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? You can know Christ personally today. So please, don't leave this room today without praying the prayer of faith, asking Jesus to come into your heart and being the Lord of your life. Altar ministers are going to come and stand across the front. For that reason, they'll want to pray with you. Or maybe you have other needs or other concerns or requests. We certainly want to pray for that as well. So please, as the dismissal of this service, I want you to come forward and find the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. Hey, thanks for being with us today, hanging out. Isn't it good to be in the presence of Jesus? Yeah. And hey, let's practice. You want to practice something? I mean, sometimes you got to fake it till you make it, right? The next time somebody pushes your button, what are you going to say? Okay, come on, let's stand. I'm going to push it right now. You ready? All right, here we go. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. See you next time. God bless you.